afternoon, everyone. The time is 2:06. Currently overcast skies, a chilly 52 degrees at the Bow Falls Radio WXCO studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio. Coming up in about, 8 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Bob Look, the Democratic nominee for the 29th District State Senate seat. He's going up against Corey Tomchek. We'll have Bob on, talk about the campaign, talk about the issues, as we are just, 6 weeks away from Election Day. Yep, 6 weeks as... November the 8th, 6 weeks from today, is Election Day. 42 days between now and when we go to the polls, and plenty of interesting races going on, including that 29th state Senate seat, an open seat, as longtime Senator Jerry Petruski is retiring. So Bob Look, Democratic candidate, coming up at 2:15 here on the program. Also, we'll be talking about... what's happened in Italy? I know we don't talk about much internationally, but coming up in the next hour, I want to talk a little bit about that, as the fascism boogeyman is out there, and if we aren't careful, it will come here. It's hard to believe that the country that brought us Benito Mussolini now is going to put into power the party that is the heir to the Mussolini legacy. So I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Also, I want to... talk a little bit about some other issues as well. Again, elections and popularity. I saw an interesting story earlier today about the candidates for the major races in Wisconsin, the gubernatorial race and the Senate race, and the low approval numbers that everybody has. And I have a few thoughts on that, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour as well. Also, if you are like me, you notice the gasoline prices over the last few days. They went up. They went way up, way, way up. And it really was annoying. And I did a little research, and there is a reason for it. But at the same time, again, it is incredibly frustrating how you see these prices, you know, ease down over months, ease down. And then when they go up, they go up. They basically take about a month and a half of the lowering of the prices, and they go away in just a day or two. And a couple of reasons why. Again, I wanted to find out, because I'm thinking, I saw a story from AAA last week. I get all these emails with news stories, and it said that, yeah, there's going to be a cut in production by OPEC, and that will bring up prices a little bit, but don't expect prices to go up that much over the next couple of months. And then you look up, and we're back over $4 in some places here in central Wisconsin. Well, there was a refinery fire that occurred in Ohio that is a big factor in this. In fact, the statewide average price for a regular gasoline rose to $3.76 yesterday, up 35 cents from 1 week ago, according to AAA Wisconsin. The increase in Wisconsin was much larger than the 5-cent increase that pushed the national average to $3.73. AAA on Monday reported the following average price for a gallon of regular gas. Mentioned in Wisconsin, $3.76. In Wausau, $3.80, up 43 cents. Up 43 cents in Wausau. Up 51 cents in Appleton to $3.76. Up 46 cents in Green Bay to $3.81. Madison up 45 cents to $3.78. Milwaukee up 27 cents to $3.75. Wisconsin, I saw the prices increase mainly because of refinery maintenance and a fire that shut down a Toledo, Ohio refinery and killed two workers last week. AAA Wisconsin spokesperson said the Ohio shutdown in particular forced gas and oil suppliers to find alternative supplies and reduced available supply, two factors that push prices higher. USA Today reported the Toledo refinery can process 160,000 barrels of crude oil per day. So the refinery issues sent prices higher in the Great Lakes, West Coast, and Plain states, even though oil prices have continued to drop, normally an indicator that prices should fall. Consumer demand for gasoline rose 1.2% in the last week, and the online price tracker Gas Buddies yesterday reported wild fluctuations in regional gasoline prices due to refinery issues. So I guess the bottom line is, hopefully once this Toledo, Ohio refinery issue is wrapped up and we get back to normal. And hopefully that this Hurricane Ian in Florida this week doesn't cause any major issues. The fact that gas prices are continuing to fall, hopefully, again, I say this, hopefully that will mean that this is a temporary price spike in terms of gasoline. But again, it's just amazing how quickly they go up. And hopefully when things do get back to normal, they'll go down just as quickly. Again, they seem to go up much faster than they go down. And it's going to be something to keep an eye on. But it's just, especially with me, when I was coming back from lunch today, the gas light went on in my car. I've been trying not to put gas in it the last couple of days, and all of a sudden it is on, and I'm going to be forced when I get done with this program, when I head out later this afternoon, to actually put some gas in the tank, and it's not going to be a pretty sight when I do fill it up. But again, we're going to keep an eye on this because I think it's an interesting story, and it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on if oil prices remain down. How quickly will the gas prices return down here in central Wisconsin? We got to take a break, but we're going to talk about some politics and the race for the 29th state Senate seat. Corey Tomczyk, the Republican nominee, Bob Look, the Democratic nominee. We'll talk to Bob Look coming up next as we continue here on this Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on the Tuesday on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Overcast skies, 52 degrees at 215, and very happy to welcome back into studio for the second time a candidate for the 29th State Senate, Bob Look. And Bob, good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to be here. Gosh, I think I've been in this room before.
I know, and I... And it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a real time warp here. But no, nice being here. Thanks for the invite to come on back.
Absolutely. I wanted to actually, before we delve into your campaign and the issues, I know it's an exciting time because I was looking at the Badger hockey schedule. There's a game Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday at the Kohl Center.
Yeah, it'll be my 25th season as the public address announcer for Wisconsin Badger men's hockey, and have like an exhibition game with this college team from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. And basically, you know, giving the other team an opportunity to play against a Division I team, and, you know, being in a big building. the first half hour of these guys from Thunder Bay, Ontario, will be running around with their phones, taking pictures of the arena, the facilities, because most of the places that they play, they probably don't even get any more than 2,000 seating. And then they're walking into a triple-decker building, and it's like, whoa.
Badger's going to be good this year?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I know you're busy right now. And obviously.
Yeah. So I haven't really, you know, I know, you know, that there's some folks back and there's some new kids, but it's just every year is the same thing. About 2-3 series, you get an idea what you have and what you don't have. So, well, we'll see. 25 years of, you know, starting the 25th year, it's kind of fun.
And on one other quick sports note, I got to ask before we delve into the serious stuff. You've been the color commentator on the TV broadcast of the state hockey tournament the last couple of years, and it's been announced they're moving the state hockey to Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena. What do you think?
Well, you know, what's funny is that last hockey season, the Madison Capitals needed a public address announcer. And one of the guys who's the general manager now with the Madison Capitals is Andrew Jodry, who used to be a former Badger forward. And so, of course, what does he do? He calls me.
The one guy he knows is around the microphone.
Bob, I know this is not going to be easy, but, you know, we need a public address announcer this coming Friday. Think you can help us out? Because they know I don't live just down the road. Right. You know, I'm 150 miles away. But I said, yeah, I'll help you out. I kind of came down there. And so I did the PA announcement. But it was really funny. As I'm there and I'm doing the PA. And as soon as I did the first announcements, and the crowd just went, Whoa!
Big time.
They got the Badger guy big here. You know? And I'm just laughing. I said, I'm just a PA now. So relax, will you? I'm just big helping time. Out. You know, and it was just funny. But people are like, hey. And then I had to do it. Here comes the Capitals. Yeah.
Make sure you don't slip up, right?
Yeah.
Nice place, though. I mean, what do you think?
It's better suited. Not better suited, but it's better suited because of, first of all, the amount of seating is not going to be like, you know, even the Coliseum, which isn't huge, but still looks really empty, even though they have a good attendance for the, games, the playoff games. And but they do have the extra locker rooms because they host a lot of tournaments and that, junior tournaments going up through, junior hockey from squirts to midgets and all that kind of stuff. So, they do have the ability to... host multiple teams.
Get them in and out.
Yeah, and I think that the fans are going to like the experience because everything's a lot closer. They do have the full row of concession stands that you can possibly have, so people aren't going to be worried about getting something to eat or
probably
getting something to drink.
More than last year at the
again, the Coliseum, they've gotten far and few between with events. So we'll see. It should be fun.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be there, and hopefully I'll be there as well.
Yeah. Hopefully
we'll both be there.
Hopefully BJ and the gang can do well with West.
Absolutely. Bob, look, state Senate candidate, 29th district. Again, I had to pick his brain a little hockey before we got things underway. But how's the campaign going? What have you been finding out, Don, talking to folks? Because we talked a little bit about this, how you've been talking to people all around the district. What are you hearing lately, especially as we're only 6 weeks away now from Election Day? What's the feedback been? Because you've been talking about the way that you are going to campaign, that, common man, common sense. What have you been finding out?
Well, I've been really, advancing the common sense majority angle of talking to people, that we're not miles away from one another, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or you declare yourself independent. We're all very close with, how we feel about things, how to get from point A to point B, how we can work together. It's always the ones on the real far right or the far left that gets all the hits on the internet and the Twitter and everything. And of course, the major networks, they just want to have a fight.
Right.
They want to have a battle. They want to have a debate because that's ratings. That gets people fired up, and somebody says something absolutely ridiculous and somebody says, you're nuts. Oh, no, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And everyone's pointing at one another. While the common sense majority of us are right here, let's discuss. That's pretty, but I would be concerned about this. I see your point. We're right there. We're so much closer than the media, corporate media wants to wish, because if they don't have the battle, they don't have the fight, the ratings don't take that, way up. Mm-hmm. And that's where the business lies. Mm-hmm. Confrontation, antagonism is the rule of the land on corporate media. And when you get right down to it, most of the people, especially the ones that I talk to out there, it's just like, a real friendly shake your hand. Yeah, I've never voted for a Democrat before, but I like you. I says, well, that's nice to know, but, I've don't vote for me because I'm this party or that party. I want you to meet me. I want to talk to you, and I'd like to learn what are your, important items that you would like to see talked about or brought up, because you learn a heck of a lot more by listening than you do by talking.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment. When you're having these discussions, because it has got to be, for you, in order to win this seat, it has to be more than connecting in a way that says, okay, we have these issues we can discuss. How do you try to, it's almost like a salesperson now, how do you close the deal for people that may have, you talked about, about the Republican-Democrat, but mm-hmm. for somebody that has voted Republican, voted mm-hmm. for Jerry Petrosky for years in this district, may vote Republican for the congressional seat. How do you try to, because it used to be more ticket splitters. I don't think there's as many ticket splitters. How do you try to get those ticket splitters back here in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, when I'm talking to people about the state Senate district, because that's all I'm concerned about in this election, is that when I tell people that, I've known Jerry Petrosky since 1998 when he was first elected to the assembly, his very first on-air interview was as a assemblyman-elect when he won election in 1998, going way late in the nighttime, like after 11 o'clock. It was, myself, Jerry, and a bartender over at the Elks Lounge here in Elks Club, I should say, here in Wausau. And we became friends ever since. And I've been, you know, a friend of his all that whole time. And again, he doesn't look at me as a Democrat. I don't look at him as a Republican. It's Jerry and me, you know. It's like it's very easy to talk to. We discuss things and that. Yes, we'll have disagreements, but we're never disagreeable to one another. And that's the difference. It's like, you know, just because someone is from an opposite party or maybe an opposite side of the fence of your side of a feeling, it doesn't hurt to at least engage one another and find out where each other, you know, what are the concerns? Mm-hmm. What are the things that they're more, you know, that's more important to them than maybe to you? Then maybe, it's like that old song I like to always bring up, Walk a Mile in My Shoes. You kind of put yourself in their place. Why are they that intense about this? And that's what I've been, you know, not just here in Marathon County area, but, you know, because of this gerrymandered Yahoo way of, you know, putting together the districts, we're going up to Taylor County, talking to the folks up there, up to Rusk County, talking to the folks up there, up to Sawyer County, and talking to, you know, everyone I can meet and talk to gets me more information on, oh, okay, now I see why you're concerned about this, or mm-hmm. why you're more, you know, attentive towards these issues. I mean, if you're representing a senatorial district in the state of Wisconsin, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of a way of doing things. You have to be, you know, like a giant sponge, taking this all in, digesting it, making the best decisions possible. If you're down to that, make that decision of voting on something or that. All I know is that when I explain to people why I wanted to get involved with this is the fact that when you have state government, the Assembly and the Senate, with problems and definite issues that need attention, and they walk in and gavel in, boom, boom, and gavel out, boom, boom, and they're done. And they walk away from it, dumping it on someone further down the line, or maybe the next group of legislators who take in to take up the problems. Sometimes those problems can't wait. Especially, you know, with the abortion question right now kind of hanging up there, when you have with the Supreme Court basically saying, okay, it's up to the states. And then all of a sudden we go to Wisconsin and say, oh, what do we have on the books? Well, the law was written in 1849. And you go, what? Before women had a vote? Before the Civil War? And this is what you're going to go by? You're not, you know, like addressing this and being definitive on this to the people so they know how to... The caregivers know what, you know, the women who, you know, may require, you know, that attention. It's just mind-boggling that, you know, legislators, they say they want to represent the people and do the best, you know, give people the laws and the, you know, the things that, yes, this is legal, no, this is not legal. And just always just throwing it off to a bill that was put on the books in 1849 and just say, oh, that's good. Wait a minute. Things have changed, haven't they? There's a lot of things that are a lot different. We're not, you know, like we're not taking or helping people get over injuries by putting leeches on them. Okay,
right.
Things have changed.
And one of the things that is interesting about, you know, that discussion, and we'll talk about a couple issues here in just a few minutes, but there are so many different issues that need to be discussed. Mm. I mean, you can't. And then when you come in, you can't just make a decision. We've had all this time to discuss a number of vital issues, whether it's been abortion, yeah, whether it's been the plan that Evers has put out in terms of education, maybe ideas that the other side would have, the budget surplus. I mean, there are a lot of things that should be discussed that to have hearings on, and we don't even have that anymore. And that seems to be a major problem. The fact that I think what you're trying to run on as well is having these discussions at the very least, so the people of the state and the people of this district have an opportunity to hear about some of these issues.
That's what democracy is supposed to be. It's a participatory sport. You may be, you know, not in the office, but that's why you have representatives to get there and, you know, represent your side of the story. Now, again, being that the Democratic Party has been in the minority in both the Assembly and the Senate, by pretty big margins. Right. There's nothing much that we can do because, you know, if you're not in the majority, you really can't run the thing. But you can put pressure on by narrowing that down a bit so the majority gets a lot smaller, mm-hmm. gets closer and closer to being even Steven, and maybe even find someone on the majority side that agree with you, maybe push an issue.
Got to take a quick break, but I want to discuss that as well because I had a state assembly candidate on yesterday and asked about what you can do in order to try and get that voice out there. So we'll talk about that coming up. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Along with 29th State Senate Democratic nominee Bob Look. And Bob, been on the campaign trail. Very glad you could stop on by here today. And you were saying that tomorrow you got a busy day. It's really it's a full-time job running for office, isn't it?
It is. You know, when you says, hey, you know, could you come, you know, and you're trying to line me up, and I go, Tuesday's about the only day I've got even, you know, any time at all. Tomorrow it's from like 7 a.m. tomorrow morning until close to 9 o'clock tomorrow night. I'll be at, you know, go here, do this. I'm going to be recording, videotaping interview with Wiss I.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, you know, so I'm going to be, you know, doing that and meeting with, it's just a, you know, I wanted to like maybe slow down my life a bit, which I did. And then all of a sudden I, you know, jumped into this and well, here we go back to the, you know, thinking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of what you need to get done.
Do you feel like the message that you want to get out is getting out to the number of people that you want it to get out to? Do you feel like you've been successful in terms of getting that message out that like you wanted to when you began this campaign?
Well, we try, you know, and we can only try with what we have. Well, I'm not an independently wealthy gentleman,
right?
You know, and so
in this business,
yeah, in broadcasting,
you spent a lot of years in this business.
Hello,
if you were had money dropping off your pants pockets, I would have been like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
what am I missing here?
Yeah, nothing. You know, nothing against this profession. It's a great profession. It's something I love to do, mm-hmm. but you know, to get rich, well, you know, the chances are slim and none.
Yeah,
but you know, I enjoy what I do. You know, and especially on the campaign trail, and I don't have money just pouring into me. If you'd like to donate, you can. I do have a website, BobLookForStateSenate.com. All one word, Bob Look for the actual word, not the number, StateSenate.com. And you can do donation right through there if you want. You can even, you know, send me an email through there that goes direct into my, you know, and I'll respond to you as quick as I possibly can. And I've done that before, which is really, it's funny when people all of a sudden they get this response after maybe a day or two. Whoa, I've never got a response like that before. I says, well, that's what your representative is supposed to do. I mean, I'm not going to promise I can do it all the time if I get right. You know, like a deluge of them, but I do try to, you know, if I have a question or if they want to, an issue for me to emphasize, fine. I, you know, that's what I'm here for.
And I appreciate you always get back to me very quickly, and that doesn't always happen. I'm trying to line up folks to come on
and
talk to me, and just getting a response sometimes is a good thing. Obviously, you got an opponent on the ballot. Corey Tomchick is the Republican nominee. I wanted to go over a few issues where you're either agree or disagree. And one of the things that I find interesting nowadays, you said it, there should be a lot of things that people agree on. I'm not so sure how many things that you and your opponent agree on. You talk a lot about, you know, trying to be common sense, not running as somebody that's Democrat or far right or far left kind of person. Your opponent is basically pigeonholing himself as, hey, you want a conservative, I'm going to be a conservative. I understand that, but at the same time, the position is still public service. And no matter whether you get a vote for a person or, you know, you didn't get that person's vote, you got to be serving all of the constituency. Is there a concern sometimes when you see, and I'm not just talking about your opponent here, but others where almost, well, if you don't vote for me and your guy doesn't win, no, too bad.
Yeah.
I imagine, I know that in talking to you, that's vital, that should you become the people's representative for this district in Madison that whether you got their vote or didn't get their vote, you're going to be working for them, correct?
Yeah, well, that kind of follows the norm of the congressional district, the U.S. congressional district with when Sean Duffy was the congressman. The lack of any kind of, you know, town hall or gathering that would allow people from all sides to, you know, question or at least, you know, in discussion. In fact, you know, I was involved in the media when all of a sudden we'd get this press release, a Tuesday afternoon or like about 4:30, 5 o'clock to be, oh, Sean Duffy's going to have a town hall meeting at such and such gymnasium or whatever, and it would be tomorrow morning at 8:30. And of course, you know, regular working folks and who would maybe thought would have been great, you know, if it would have been at night, 8:30 in the morning or 10 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon or what have you, be there, and it's and. All of his supporters knew about this going in there. Mm-hmm. So they're all, and it was just a rah, rah, zisk, boom, bah. And, okay, good night, everybody. Yeah, we had a town hall meeting. See, we had town hall meetings all, you know.
Speaking to the people.
But unfortunately, it was not available. And now, again, I'm not just picking on, you know, everyone likes to pick their audiences also. But if you're going to have a town hall meeting, make it a town hall meeting with plenty of warning. And I remember getting a call. This was several years ago when Ron Johnson first was elected senator, and they for some reason they had my number, and they said, would you like to participate in Senator Ron Johnson's video town hall? Sure,
why not?
And of course, then they asked me what question that I was going to ask. Well, I basically laid out a softball question, you know. Okay, well, you'll be the third caller. Okay. So I got to the third caller, and he said, oh, hello, we got Bob from Rothschild. Bob, what's your question for the senator? And suddenly I did not ask the question that was prefabbed. I asked a direct question that was very, you know, it was very uncomfortable because he didn't really have an answer for it. And it was like him and him and him. And the next thing I heard was dial tone. It was like click. And I was done. And they moved on to the next caller. So, you know, okay, now he's going to say, well, you tricked him. What do you mean being tricked?
Why does he need to be pre-screened anyways?
Well,
right?
Well,
you know, I mean, but no, I imagine that when you go out and talk to folks, they ask you hard questions.
I give the example of the last senatorial race that we had back in 2016. I was on the air down in Wisconsin Rapids. And again, when I did morning shows, I was just straight down the middle.
Sure.
And no, you know, and he had, of course, Russ Feingold was running, and Johnson running for re-election. And so we had the invitations wide open to both, you know, candidates. And Russ Feingold, you know, says, well, okay, this time, and we'll call you, and we'll do the interview. And didn't say we want to talk about this, we want to talk about this. These are the only things that Russ is going to talk about. No, it was just wide open. Whatever I wanted for 15 minutes, go. On Ron Johnson's side of the stories, they went, okay, the senator wants to talk about, and I went, okay, we'll touch on some of those if we can, but, you know, there are other issues within, you know, our area that, you know, might have some questions on. Mm-hmm. And they went, well, you know, we would like you to stay pretty much on this. Oh, okay, I'll do my best. Well, I hit like the first two. Then I varied off. And all of a sudden, I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. And I'm saying, I hear you fine, Senator John. Well, I'm sorry. What is this? Who I'm talking? Is this Bob? Bob, are you there? And he was doing all this. And so when I saw that little deal where he was running away from the Capitol and the reporter was on the phone. Can't you see him on the phone? No, you're not. You don't even have it dialed. You just have the. And I was going, oh man, you know, if you're afraid to, you know, confront. I mean, questions are tough.
Yes, they are.
But that's that's the game, folks. I mean, that's what you're supposed to. And you may not give the answer that person wants, but if you're going to be honest with them, you got to be honest with them.
Yeah, we're talking to Bob Look, 29th State Senate candidate here on the program. That brings up some questions. Let's talk about government generally, because on your opponent's website, he quotes Ronald Reagan that man is not free unless government is limited. And basically, he wants keep politicians and unelected bureaucrats seem to think it's their job to tell us how to live our lives. It's simple. Tax less, spend less, regulate less, and mandate less. What's your viewpoint on government? I mean, he obviously feels like hands off, except for certain social issues, which we'll touch on. But what is your general philosophy on what government should be doing, especially at the state level?
All right, let's start with the state of Wisconsin. First off, the big issue a lot of times that I've heard is that the brain drain of the state of Wisconsin, where young people go through high school and through college, but they don't end up staying within their area, especially up in the central and northern parts of the state of Wisconsin. Okay, let's drove back to the early days of the Walker administration, when the big push was for passing Act 10 and also for the right to work state, calling Wisconsin a right to work state,
right,
which was basically two things that did all they could to take away rights, take away collective bargaining, taking away things that the working person had to try to get a fair deal in their skills and in their chosen profession. Now you've done that, so now you have people who have gone through, got education or a trade or what have you, and they would like to maybe maximize it or at least get a better deal. And all of a sudden you're going around saying, I have this particular skill. I'm a teacher, okay? I can do, okay, I'm here, but the Act 10, that's kind of like, over this part of the country, maybe things are a little bit better for teachers or for tradesmen or things of that nature. When you take away the goal of getting a better life for yourself, and basically putting a cap on it, and they talk about, government should just get out of the way of people. Well, they're getting in the way of people. It's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. They use that, that expression like, we got a left to. Two words will explain the inflation, gas prices, all that other stuff. It's just two words: corporate greed. End of story. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and tell, no, don't do the tap dance. Don't point at the person who owns the gas station down the street. They're at the mercy of what the corporations are doing and telling them, you better sell these at this, or you're no profit margin, or it's, you're done. And you talked about in your early opening about, we're going to have, it's just amazing. It's just amazing when all of a sudden there will be that fire at, say, an oil refinery, and then suddenly the price of gas goes. That's one oil refinery in the whole country. Were that dependent on a oil refinery? It's too convenient.
There's no leg. Shouldn't there be a leg before the? Because all the stuff you got here,
it's
already.
There. It's done. But here's the kicker as far as I'm concerned. When you looked at the first quarter of this year, the profits from the oil companies, record profits,
right.
not barely getting by. We're talking records that were passing, because they could do it. They had the ability, they had the lobbyists to, have the legislators look the other way. Oh, I guess everything's fine. Pharmaceuticals, same thing. How you can't explain to me why they couldn't, passed that, or all the Republicans voted against capping $35 limit a month on insulin for diabetics. When it's out there, the supply is there. It's just the pharmaceuticals and the corporate greed dials it all up. And Social Security, when they talk about we got to do something because we can't, we're losing funding. Well, how about people who? Your payment into FICA or into that is cut off at about $120,000 a year. Mm-hmm. What about those people who make $120,000 and above, paying also into it? And they say, they're not going to use it. Wait a minute. You got highways out there. What? You don't have to sit there and pay, you know, taxes to repair highways because maybe you don't drive? That's not the point. The point is it's supposed to be a union. You know, they talk about being a more perfect union. Right. Well, you're not going to be more perfect if the haves have and the have-nots have nothing.
Exactly. That is fantastic. Can you stick around for one more short segment?
Sure.
Terrific. We got to take a break. Come back with Bob Look, talk about a couple of other issues. State Senate candidate from District 29. Coming up, more with Bob Look right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Takes every kind of people, and it takes different kinds of people to run for office. And we got one of the candidates for the state Senate, 29th Senate District, Bob Look, joining us. Election day just 6 weeks away. And I think we're, I don't know, fortunate or not fortunate. We don't see a lot of commercials for state Senate and state assembly, but we do see a lot of commercials for the United States Senate.
That's
and the
all
governor.
The dark money is.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of that. And one of the, you know, if you watch the commercials, especially the third party commercials, that crime is the biggest issue right now in Wisconsin, according to these commercials. What is your take on the crime issue right now? Just generally, what do you think? Is there anything that...
Crime? Yes, there's crime, okay? And there is crime. But when they start blaming crime on a person who had nothing to do with either a repeat offender... I know this may come as a shock to some of you people, but Mandela Barnes is black. Okay, get over it. I'm just I thought we were kind of past all this stuff, but for some people, maybe isn't. Now I'm telling you right now, what does Mandela Barnes, as a lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, have to do with the person who got out and then drove his car into that parade? He was let loose because of the prosecution that had a short bail and also the judge who accepted that, and then he got off on that. Mm-hmm. Now, blame is one thing. Did you think that this person was going to go off and do that? They probably in their hearts did not. Okay. But what does the lieutenant governor have to do? Because he advocates releasing prisoners. You know, the prisoners who, bounced a few checks and is no harm to anybody else. They just basically, screwed up. But they don't have the cash to get bail, and they're in jail maybe waiting for, a court date. Mm-hmm. Marijuana possession or things of that nature. Yes, they are in jail because they did something that was wrong or that is illegal currently. The point being is, what was their illegality? When they take little snippets like that, but of course it's so much easier when the candidate is not of an ethnic background as some of the folks who, wring their hands worried about, this and that and what have you. And guess what? Crime can happen anywhere. When you have... A metropolitan area of 1 million people, as compared to a metropolitan area here of Marathon County, mm-hmm. of not quite that many people.
Not quite.
It's just numbers. The different numbers. Yes, there's crime out there, and it will be crime out there. I just would like to make sure that things would even up a little bit. That say assault rifles just aren't available to people. Outside of the military or of law enforcement. I'm not saying taking away your hunting rifles. I'm not saying, that's your handguns and that for protection of your home. I'm talking about weapons that were specifically made for war.
The numbers don't lie. When the original assault weapons ban went into effect, numbers went down. When it went off the books 10 years later, when it sunset, it triple figured up.
Australia had a mass shooting with an automatic assault rifle, I should say. And within, I believe it was with, I don't know the exact time, I know it was less than a year, the government there, boom, and made them, no, regular folks just can't, you know, have these weapons. And thusly, nothing else has happened afterwards or anything that's has been minimal. Thing is, again, there are responsible gun owners out there, and I know them, that will say to me, yeah, you're right, you know.
Common sense, right?
That's the name of the game, common sense majority. There are people out there, but again, one end will be, it's the old, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know, they get the attention, and everybody gets rah, rah, zish, boom, bah, we got to do this. Well,
purity test, basically.
Yeah, let's think about this as, you know, do I want to have, you know, that kind of weapon even near me? You know, especially somebody who's maybe not trained with this, and it's just like, it scares the heck out of me just as a person. The thing about, you know, with the election coming up, and again, you got people with mail-in vote already getting them now. Early voting will be coming up soon. You got to ask yourself this question. When you are there putting down your vote, it's a secret ballot. And guess what? This may come as a shock to some of you folks out there, but the elections were not rigged.
You got my next point is that, and also,
they were not rigged. No proof, nothing. None of this, well, No, it's like, the Packers played the Buccaneers this past Sunday. Buccaneer fans said, you know, it's 14-12, but I think that scoreboard's wrong.
It was rigged.
They shouldn't have got the 14, you know. Well, that's the numbers. That's
Isn't
the
it
votes.
Real quickly here, we got 2 minutes to go. Yeah. I think there's a connection in the way that the Johnson campaign is running against Barnes, and also when your opponent talks about election fraud, and he says there's more than ample evidence to suggest
Where?
The 2020 election
Where?
Went wrong, really wrong. It's not time to move on. It's time to investigate, prosecute, and convict.
Where?
In the big cities. And again,
Where?
there's in Milwaukee.
Where?
In Milwaukee.
Why?
Because they're black.
You are right.
There's a connection here, because he's not saying that Tom Tiffany was, you know, the victim of voter fraud.
And
or
all of the other legislative, the assembly, the state senate races, and all the other stuff, that's okay. But this one, you know, what indications? Where do you have evidence? All you have are accusations.
And the thing about it is, as well, I think that the great majority of the Democratic Party, if there was evidence, we would want it fixed too.
Yes.
I mean, we don't want bad elections.
Let me just declare this right now on the air right here now. When this election comes on November 8th, when they finish up the elections, when the votes are counted, and it says that Bob Look did not win the state Senate election, I will accept that, you know, decision, because that's, you know, the voters have spoken. But if it also says that night that all of a sudden, according to our numbers and that, that Bob Look is going to be the state senator elect for District 29, I would hope that my opponent would be honest enough and the kind of a person who would back democracy by saying, okay, if it's close to the point where it's like, the recount happens automatically.
Oh,
there is no, you know, declaration. But the point being, this is democracy. If the people speak, you listen.
And they're absolutely right, and that's so vitally important. Bob, thank you again. I know you're going to be very busy, but best of luck on the campaign trail, and we'll get in contact again real soon.
Well, maybe I'll show up at a high school game one of these days.
Very good. Bob, look with us here on Bow Falls Radio WXEL.